What did I just read?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our second episode of the Pain or Pleasure Wheel. Where we Woo! Both got pain this time, but yours wasn't real. It was pain / pleasure, I think. It was more, I just really wanted to make you read this book. So, mm-hmm. LA, you had to read A Court of Thorn and Roses by Sarah J. Maas.
Yes. And Holly, you had to read
King of Wrath by Anna.
Bye. Yeah, our favorite.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, mm-hmm. She's somebody's favorite.
Okay.
You want to kick us off then? See what?
I don't know. Okay, I can.
I am dying to know what, because on Goodreads, all it says is like still for you, because I hunt you down. Mm-hmm. It still says reading or currently reading the last time I checked. And so I was like.
Okay. So if you like Anna Wong, then I suggest you skip over the next probably like 30 minute rant that's going to happen and just skip to LA's section. But listen.
Okay.
I tried, LA. I went into this book with an open mind. I want everybody to know I did that.
Good. Did you finish it?
I did finish it last night. I forced myself.
400 pages.
Mm-hmm. It was. And I started it on Saturday or Sunday, and I texted you. I was like, hey, let's record on Monday, thinking that like I'll for sure have this book read. I was just being really hyperbolic, saying that it would take me a week to read this book. That was silly of me. LA, it took me a week to read this book.
Oh, no.
And honestly, and it was because I was just so bored. I was so bored. This whole book.
Can I tell you, I know nothing about this book. So this is a first in a series. She has mm-hmm. four that are coming out.
Let me correct you, because you do. Okay. Did you read any other of Anna Wong's books? Have you read the Twisted series? Then you have read this book.
What?
It is.
What?
Because Anna Wong follows a formula and they're all the same. They're all the same. You have, if you like hyper-masculine men, this book is for you. If you like women who are kind of meek and they're just like not too sure of themselves, but they want to live their own lives, this book is for you. If you want men touch her and you die, this book is for you. This book is not for me.
but it is for a lot of other people. People love this book.
They do. And it's just not, honestly, it's just not for me. And that is like what it boils down to. These characters, these tropes, I don't like them. I don't care about them.
Tell me, is it a contemporary romance?
So it's a contemporary romance. In fact, it's still in the same world as the Twisted series. Some of the characters overlap. So the Christian from Twisted Lies, that was the last one that we read, right?
Yes.
He is a character in this book. And his timeline with, oh God, what is her name?
Stella,
yeah, that's it. His timeline with Stella is like weirdly intertwined in this book. Like it hasn't happened. And then towards the end of the book, it is happening. And actually Dante, who is the main character in King of Wrath. And oh my God. What's the main character in this book?
What's her name?
Vivian. 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 Dante and Vivian also make cameos in Twisted Lies.
What?
Yeah.
When?
So Dante has Magda, that ugly ass painting that is Christian's.
Oh. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, oh.
So like when they're when Christian and Stella visit like that random apartment in New York, it's
Yeah.
Dante and Vivian's apartment that they're visiting. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So there you
Interesting.
have this weird crossing of books, swords, books. And I don't, I mean, which I think if you really enjoyed the Twisted series, then you will like that. You will like the crossover. It's fun, it's interesting. And Christian does play like an interesting role. At the same time, this book is just so predictable. Okay. You want to like a little brief summary? I feel like I should give a brief summary instead. I'm
Yeah,
just
I'd love
word
one.
vomiting. So this King of Wrath is an arranged marriage story. So you have this billionaire CEO, Dante Russo, who is being blackmailed to marry a jewelry heiress, Vivian Lau.
Okay.
And she has no idea he's being blackmailed to marry her. She just thinks this is an arranged marriage. And she is going along with it because she will do anything for her family, even though her family sucks.
Where are they? What culture is this? Arranged marriage.
So he is Italian. She
Okay.
is Hong Kong Chinese American.
Okay.
So you do have definitely like this cultural element of you do what your family says, like blood is thicker than water, and you respect your elders for Vivian, which I understand and I get. But at the same time, it just that being her only reason for staying in an arranged marriage was just so.
It's not strong enough.
No,
It
it
just seemed
wasn't. Yeah.
faulty.
It
Okay.
seemed, yeah, it was just so, like, it made her character seem so weak, and I hated it, and I hated her.
Oh, okay. Like, was she whiny? Was she just, like, in her feels and thoughts too much? Was
Just
she...
feels and thoughts, and just same feels and same thoughts, like, cycling and cycling, and friends telling her the same thing that she was already thinking. You know what I mean?
I do,
And
yeah.
He obviously does not want to be in this marriage at all. To him, this is just a business deal. He doesn't really want anything to do with her. To him, she is the enemy's daughter. To
Okay.
her, this is just something that they have to do. People of wealth and power have arranged marriages all the time. It's not talked about, but they just do it, right? Because they're new money, he's old money, and for them to get married is advantageous for her family. Like they're going to be lifted up because she's marrying him, right?
Yeah.
And to her, she's thinking, or she was like kind of told that marrying him is opening new markets also for her family. But really, there's just really no benefit to him marrying her.
Her.
So for, I just feel like that wasn't explored enough for her as a character, like wondering, like, what is he really, what are the benefits of this marriage for him, especially when she is like, they're forced to live in his apartment together. You get like this Beauty and the Beast moment where she has her own wing, he has his own wing, and he's just like, your engagement ring is on your bedside table, you know? And like, that's her proposal. And it's this, oh my God, I don't even know where I'm going because I'm just like bored talking about it.
Is it enemies to lover? Do they start doing like
Yeah,
snide
so it's
stuff?
like he's not very kind to her and she is cold to him and makes snide remarks and he like respects her for her snide remarks and he's just like, nobody talks to me like she does. And he's like, and I kind of respect her for it. And she's like, he's giving me so many heated glances and he talks to me so not nice and I love it. You know, it's like so many bullshit moments like that. But I'm just like, okay. So you get like the heated moments of those things. And then you have like the close proximity of being forced together in their apartment. And then you get like, he's not nice to her. And then all of a sudden you get these warm, touching stories and they're getting closer. And then you have this moment where they're finally having sex. And he like goes down on her. He finger bangs her. But he does not penetrate her with his penis. And he decides that they did not fuck. That they did not have sex. In LA, they did have sex. Oral and finger banging, that qualifies as sex. Just because you didn't put a P and a V, that does not mean you didn't have sex. Just because you didn't orgasm doesn't mean you didn't have sex.
Oh.
And then he leaves her in bed and he goes and takes a cold shower and he thinks, I'm so glad that I did not have sex with her.
But you did.
Did. What is happening? And before that scene, he had already finger banged her in the Valhalla Club. Remember that? That's also in the mm-hmm. Twisted series. And I'm just thinking, like, dude, where did you learn sex education?
What point in the book did you get to this point? Was it like, so it's a 400 page
That's like
book.
Halfway through that they're like going down on each other. And like the finger banging probably happened like a third of the way. It's like a long time to the smut. And after that, there's this cold shoulder moment. And she's just like, yeah, I'm so glad that we didn't really do it in Bali. And I'm just thinking like, but you did. You orgasmed twice. That's sex. You had sex. Anyway, I won't harp on it anymore, but I probably will. And and he's just like, yeah, because he grunts. And gives like masculine looks. And then for some reason, there's like a flip and they decide that they like each other and they're going to go on dates now. And because they're engaged, and then they start having amazing sex. And I don't know. I just thought it was going to be a little kinkier too. And it's really not.
So it's called King of Pride.
Wrath.
Wrath. Sorry. Wrath. The second one is King of Pride. Mm-hmm. Right? Did Anna Huang, the author, put in any sort of like hints of what, who's the next couple going to be, or?
Yes. So, well, no, she didn't really give hints to who the couple will be in the next, but she gives hints to several couples that it could potentially be. So you kind of know the lineup that is going to be happening. So the next book is Kai and Isabella, which she gave. Isabella is Vivian's close friend and confidant. She's a little wild. She has different colored hair. And then you have Kai, who's studious and knows Latin because he's smart. And so they're the next couple, which, I mean, that one sounds fine and fun, but.
Okay, so that was my question, is that, would you continue in the.
No, I'm done. I'm done.
Oh, man. So, you know, like one of my goals is to always read all of the Goodreads 20 whatever, like their top 20 nominees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's, and good, I keep saying King of Pride because it's the second one, but you have to read, like, I guess you don't have to, but King of Wrath is the first one. So I'm super excited. You've made me so excited to read this now.
I am sure I have. I'm so excited for you to pick it up. I don't know. It wasn't my jam. It's not something that I like to read. I don't like the hyper-masculine characters. I don't really care for the toucher and you die situations. I'm just like, I find that gross and just like not appealing at all. But I know that other people really like it and eat it up, and that's fine. It's just not for me. It's not what I like.
Do you think if Anna Huang like dipped into other, you know how authors sometimes they do, like Rebecca Yarros, for example, dipped into like romantasy or, you know, something mm-hmm. else. Do you think that you'd give the author another shot, or?
Listen. This is my fifth Anna Huang book. And I just don't, it's just, she's just not for me.
That's okay.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to like every author. You don't have to like everybody's writing style. I was just bored by this book. And I wasn't as angry with these characters as I was with Twisted Lies. Their motivations and their character development was better. They seemed like actual people to me with real motivations and personal qualities and drive. But I just, yeah, no, I don't think I will be picking up the next book in this series or if Anna Wong decides to write a romantasy. I don't think I will be picking up that book unless
Sounds
it's
good.
Like incredibly, this book is also incredibly highly rated on Goodreads.
What did you end up giving the star rating? I don't think I remembered or heard.
I gave it 2 stars because some parts were entertaining, but overall other people enjoyed this book. I did not.
So your pain is painful.
It was painful. I'm now in a bit of a book slump because of this book. I don't know.
Well, we can rig it and just have you do pleasure.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, but you know what I will say about this book? Something that I did like, because we talked about another book, and The Bride, right? Where we didn't feel like he groveled enough. There was not an apology. Yeah. In King of Wrath, I did feel like there was a moment where obviously his character needed to grovel, and he did it. And he did it in a good way and in a loving and touching way for her character.
Okay. Cool.
There's that.
So that's kind of satisfying.
It was.
Okay. Do you want to find? Yeah. Yeah.
You want to tell us about the book that you were assigned to read this week?
Yeah.
Or this month?
Finally. So.
Yay!
I got A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas, or ACOTAR for short. Can I tell you, I cannot believe for how much clout this book has gotten on BookTok and Instagram. I'm shocked that nothing was like really revealed, if you will. I'm just surprised that I could go, because I thought, oh, surely I'm going to, you know this or that or whatever. But there was one BookTok girl, and she said she had the book holding up in the screen, and she would, you know, go to a section in the beginning and just kind of yawn and go halfway through it and yawn, and then all of a sudden, like 3/4 of the way, she'd start kind of like going in, and then she'd be really shocked at the end. So my foray with Sarah J. Maas is I have read almost all of the Throne of Glass series. It's one of the first books that I read when I got into my reading journey again a few years ago. So I think I've read all of them except the last two, The Tower of Dawn and Kingdom of Ash, in that series. But I have all of the Crescent City books, and I physically own them. And I also physically own all 5 of the Court of Thorns and Roses series. But I haven't read them until now.
Yay! So what was your star rating for this book? I'm so excited.
I gave this book 5 stars.
Yes! I'm so excited.
And I'm already starting the second book. So The Court of Mist and Fury, which is a tome.
Yeah.
And then I
You'll
also
fly through
heard
it.
That's, I mean, I feel like I flew through this one. Well, the beginning, can I just tell you? The beginning was rough.
It's
was
slow.
I'm like, ay, 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 with the whole going to the Tamlin's spring court and all that shit.
What did you think about the family dynamics?
Okay. Okay. Here's. Okay. So you follow, for people that don't know, which obviously you do know. So her name is, and she pronounces it like on page 5 or 6, and it's Feyre, like Ruhra.
Yeah. Feyre.
I always call her Feyre. I don't know why, like a fairy, but Feyre. So if I keep saying that, that's what it is. So she's 19 years old. She has 2 older sisters. So I first started reading this and I was like, this is a fucking Cinderella, like, you know, retelling or whatever, right? There's also the 3 trials. That's like a mythological, like, reference to, is it Psyche and Eros or something? She has to go through 3 trials to, anyways. So her mother died when she was younger. That seems a little sus.
And only asked her, just her baby, to watch over her family.
Yeah. And she had this vow that she could not break it. What? And then her dad, so he was a very successful merchant and then had a really bad, he bet all of his money on these ships that sunk and they lost their fortune. And so they're living in a cottage and basically starving. So they don't have enough food. And so Feyre goes out. I try to fix it and then I didn't. She goes out and she starts hunting for the family. And these good for nothing sisters do nothing.
Nothing.
Don't even Nesta, try. Not redeeming to me either. Because no. Nesta at the end, you're kind of like want to side with her a little bit because Elaine. Kind of stupid. Like she's like 1970s, like Mother Earth, like whatever. Nesta is a cold hard bitch. Like she is just. I feel like I'm going to hate this bitch. So she's awful. She's awful. And I think that they're going to have parts in later books. I don't know why, but I just feel like their story ain't over. But yeah, so it starts out with Feyre hunting and she sees a wolf and she contemplates if it's so that in this world that she lives in, there are fairies and there's this big wall and, you know, go past the fairies and there 500 years ago, there was the big war and now the humans are separate from them. And I don't mean to drone on because I know that everybody and their mom has read this. I feel like I'm reciting the Bible.
She ends up killing a fairy, right? Not really knowing if it is or isn't, but at the end of the day, she doesn't really care if it is or it isn't. She does it anyway.
Yeah. And she brings the wolf back. There's this whole thing about going into town and sell whatever. It's all shit. So later, a beast of some sort. I don't think Tamlin turns into a wolf. Like he turns into some sort of beast that is wolf-like.
Yeah, it's like a beast with antlers and everything. Yeah.
Horns or whatever.
He's
scary. So he finds out that Feyre had killed his friend. And because of some treaty that she has the option of either dying, like him killing her, or moving to the world. What? How do you pronounce? Pryithian.
Prythian?
It's like, yeah, this is so obviously like the UK.
It is. The map reminds me a bit in Game of Thrones because it's like up and down too. And you have, it's very similar.
Yeah, it's the exact same. So she obviously decides to leave her past behind and forever go and live with who you find out is Tamlin. And he is a High Fae. And there are 7 High Fae. He's one of them. But of the Spring Court. And he has, what you find out way later in the book, he has a curse. So he can't take off a mask. And
kind of silly.
The whole time. Oh, God. I just think he has like these gold feathers.
Yeah. I thought of like this Venetian gold, but like metal gold mask.
Yeah.
Stylish.
Yeah.
What are your feelings towards Tamlin?
No. I think she should be with Rhysand. I think I'm a Rhysand supporter because I always like the bad boys. Because I also think the very last scene where he like stumbles, which we'll get to, is like him realizing that he's her mate or whatever that fairy thing is.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? Yeah, I think that they're mates because she became a fairy. So like at the end. And so I think that that's when he realizes, because you have to be a fairy. I think this is what happens. This is my prediction.
Ooh.
Don't tell me anything.
Mm-mm.
But I think Rhysand has his own fucking problems. I think Tamlin, I just think of him as like somebody older, like an old geezer, because he's like old as dirt. And I think he might be out of touch.
All are, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how old. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. They're old.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a message maybe for later books is like being so old and losing like your feelings, like getting so far away from mortality and the humans and all that other stuff. I don't think her and Tamlin are going to work out, but I think that Sarah J. Maas is going to take us on a fucking ride for 10 books. Or he's going to die.
Yeah, she's very good at taking people for a ride. Right now I'm in the middle of Thorn of Glass and I'm on book 4 and I feel like I'm definitely on a ride. There was like a love triangle in the very beginning. That love triangle broke apart. And now I'm on this other love triangle that I don't know what's happening with. That I don't like one corner of the triangle. I want to like cut that out.
Yeah.
But I think she does a good job in ACOTAR with the love interests. So I'm very excited for you to keep going in this book series.
Can I tell you, it was a little steamy for, so I know that they recovered these books. So this book was released, what, 2018 or 16, 18, something like that. Oh gosh, 15. Yeah, 2015. So they had more like YA things. She was 19. So I think it was like new adult, which new adult didn't exist, I think, back then. I thought new adult was like a recent thing. But yeah, they have sex in this book. And it's interesting.
It only gets steamier. Honestly, and the fact that this was in the YA section in bookstores, I was like, that doesn't belong there. That does not belong there.
No, they have sexy time. Mm-hmm. So I have other predictions. So she leaves Tamlin. Tamlin has this curse. She's part of this curse to break it. She doesn't end up breaking it. Tamlin gets taken over by, which I love the this bad queen's name. It's like Amanda and Samantha combined together. Amantha. I fucking love it because you know SJM was like, I know this bitch named Samantha and I know this bitch named Amanda.
She's Amantha. It's so true.
Oh, it's fantastic. Not to be complicated, she tricked some high fae, cursed people, stole their magic. She's in charge. But here's the thing that's not talked about is that she reports to this king in wherever the fuck, like that king. I think he comes into, I think he's the villain in the next one or two. What is that king of Hybern? Hyberen? I think he's going to come in for the next one. But anyways, so she's this queen who's in love with Tamlin and Tamlin don't like her. And so
she's kind of the worst. Kind of the worst.
She's kind of fucking awful.
Yeah, but I mean, she's the one who like cursed him with the masks, the party masks.
Yeah, and she's bad shit with the eyeball of her sister's ex lover that's in the ring. When does that come back? Because they can't find that.
So great.
What the fuck? So, anyways, yeah, like a badass that she is, Feyre goes in to her palace that's under a mountain, which just seemed very dark, and says, "I want to win my man back." Mm-hmm. And she basically says, you have to do these three trials, and she almost dies. But then she like figures out the riddle, and that's really cool. But really fucking stupid what the answer was. I thought it was going to be more complex. Stupid.
New adult and then, LA.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Rhysand with all the body paint and interesting. Mm-hmm, and I thought the steamy scene when Tamlin wasn't showing any sort of sign of like affection or, you know, whatever. And then he just couldn't contain it anymore and whatever. And then Rhysand like comes in and they have their kiss. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Getting into the mush. But basically she defeats this queen and frees her man and they go off and they're living happily ever after, maybe, or maybe not. Because I think what's going to happen is she's pissing off the king without the queen's dead, or some people were supportive of this Amantha. So yeah, the worm was nuts.
Yeah.
Thought that was a really great visual though.
She did such a good job describing that whole worm scene. I was so into it. And I still remember her running away from the worm, and was she like throwing things? Oh, I don't know. But also just like being in the muddy pit. I was there with her. I felt like that scene was so well written.
Yeah. And that she figures out, she's such a huntress. She figures out that the worm is blind and that she can, you know, do all that stuff. That they use her own weakness of her not learning. She can't read, so she's illiterate. So having to pull a lever to save the redhead, Lucien or whatever.
Lucien?
Not a fan. Yeah, not a fan.
You don't like Lucien?
I don't like Lucien. No. Okay. Not a fan.
Why?
I don't know why.
Why not?
I think he just is really needy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
it's not his. I don't want to say too much. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'll figure out more with him. He's always a weakness. He's Tamlin's weakness. He's her weakness. It's like, ugh, Stop it.
Yeah.
I think I missed the party for a long time. I'm glad you brought me on board. And I also fucking hate you because now I'm like losing my life to ACOTAR for a while.
Oh my God. You're going to love it. I've actually started listening to it because my husband has it on Audible because I made him listen to it after I loved it. My whole summer was consumed by ACOTAR 2 summers ago. And I told my husband, Zach, I was like, you have to read these books. They're so good. And they're steamy, but I think you're also going to really like them even beyond the romance side of it, the romanticity of it. I think the world is really fun and you'll really enjoy these books. And so he picked them up and he has them on Audible. And so I'm trying to catch up with you so I can listen to them as you read them too.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I've had such a lovely time with this pain and pleasure wheel.
Yeah, I know you have. And if you were to get pain, I will not be as generous next time around. Okay, I have my wheel here. Do you want me to spin for both of us?
Please.
Okay, I think we are ready to spin for our next round. Do you want me to spin for you first, or do you want me to spin for me first?
You first. You okay. First. I have a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I swear to God. Does that mean it's a beige?
I think it's your choice.
I want a pleasure. I am so sick of pain. I've had pain 2 months in a row. I think I deserve something good in my life. So I'm going to go with pleasure. But that means next month I have to do a pain. Right?
You don't have to. No, okay. No, it's whatever you spend.
Well, then I'm choosing a pleasure.
Okay. I got your pleasure. All right. So I recently read this book. I've never read anything by this author. She's getting a bunch of hype. And she also has another book coming out. I believe it's this summer that everybody's talking about. But I want you to read Part of Your World by Abby Jimenez.
Yay!
And oh, I'm so you're excited. Welcome.
Yay! Thank you. Because I've been wanting to read that book so bad. And I just really haven't made an excuse to read it yet.
Oh, I think you'll love it. And there's some small townness in it that is so you. And
you hate it. You like this book though, and you don't like the small town.
I loved it. I could not physically put it down.
That is high praise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think you like it. Okay, right. My turn.
You ready?
I'm
so excited for you. What is LA going to get? She is getting. Ooh, what do you want? You are also on beige 23 again.
Your wheel is rigged.
I think so. What do you want? A pain or a pleasure?
Okay, so I've had pleasure the past couple of rounds. So let's mix it up. I think since you picked pleasure, I'm gonna go ahead and I'll pick pain. But here's the thing. I made you read a 400 page Anna Wong book. Yeah. Okay. I'll pick pain.
Okay. Oh, so you're going to read something that is a bit taboo. I picked out something from Penelope Douglas, and you're going to be reading a sapphic novel. A book called Trist Venom 6.
That's a big book.
Enjoy your bully romance. It feels gross inside. Secretly love it. Oh, I don't know. You might not, but
I don't think this is a pain. You know, I've read because I've read all of her standalones, I think. Uh-huh. So I've read like Misconduct and Birthday Girl and Credence.
I know like sapphic books aren't your typical clam jam.
I like swords better.
Whether they're crossing or not.
You're crossing.
And like, I like my sappies, but I know you're just whatever on them. And this is also it's set in a high school setting, which I was just kind of like, about. And it's very much a bully romance. They are not kind to each other.
So you talked about this in one of our monthly wrap-ups last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this sounds interesting. And then you start getting to it. And I was like, no, I don't think this is for me.
So I don't know if you've read, have you read a bully romance before?
Yeah. Her Punk 57, if that's considered a bully romance.
Okay. This is more than that. But that's kind of.
There's a Harley Lowe something she wrote, Her Soul to Take. That's, wow. Yeah, that one was made me feel very uncomfortable. How am I gonna talk about this with you?
I'm so interested on your reaction to this book and what you think of it.
Oh God. I'm gonna have to buy it. I know it's on KU. I think I'm gonna have to buy it though.
Yeah, it is on KU.
Okay.
On Kindle Unlimited for everybody who doesn't know our lingo.
Do you know that she got picked up by somebody and they're traditionally publishing her books?
Ooh, good for her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's doing good stuff. God damn it.
I'm so excited.
What do we do?
I have been sitting on this for like a week. I have been like dwelling on what to give you. I already knew the pleasure book that I was going to give you, and I'm going to sit on it for next time too because I think you'll really like it. But I wasn't sure what to do for pain. And so
I feel like I'm pretty easy with pain. You know, like my likes and dislikes.
I mean, I feel kind of similar.
This isn't really a pain though. This isn't like a book that I dislike. I think it's just something that I haven't read before, maybe.
We'll see. We'll see.
You're confident.
It might not be a pain, but it will be uncomfortable. And that makes me happy.
Yay. Okay. All right.
Yay.
Well, on that note.
Bye. See you next month.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, Lord.